The past few weeks, we've been thinking about Christian basics, and we've gone through some attributes of God and the worship of God. And last week, we got into a study of Romans 8, 28 through 39, which speaks about God's commitment to us and the security we have in that His commitment is solid. I thought a good follow-up today for us would be to think about the matter of security and how the Bible speaks of that, and the song directs us to that, how now I belong to Jesus, to think about security. Every human being has something in common. Think about people around the world this morning. The teeming mass of people walking the streets of Calcutta, New York, all over. We all have a common problem, and that problem is sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And sin brings consequences and results in our life, not only in the external sins that are very apparent, but in a lot of sins that affect our behavior in sort of subtle ways. One of those results is insecurity. We all have sin, and we are all insecure people in some way and in some degree. And sin and insecurity causes very poor behavior. Sometimes it causes us to be overly shy, overly sensitive. Sometimes it causes us to be overly aggressive and loud and boastful. It's the same problem, insecurity. I had a premarital counseling session with a couple yesterday, and as we were talking about life, they had had a very major conflict. We're meeting once a month. And since the last time we met, there was major. I mean, they were ready to quit it. And so we got talking about her insecurities. And she said, I'm a very insecure person. And that's why she couldn't handle the problem very well. So while we meet with this subject this morning, we're all together. No one is exempt from thinking about the need for security. To be a secure person, stable, dependable, one who's able to help meet the needs of other people. So let's just think about security and the thought of belonging to the Lord. What does it mean to belong? Belonging implies ownership. He owns us. We belong to Him. We're not our own. A common word that's popular today is bonding. Belonging is bonding, oneness, a tie, a connection, an ownership. And so this morning, I want to present six ways, biblically, that we belong to Him. And the outline on the back of the bulletin will help us work through this and turning to the Scripture as we look at these six ways. Now, there are probably 1,000, but let's just look at these six ways that we belong to Him. The first one is by gift. And this is one of the most amazing things that will ever cross our mind. That we who are sinners and have nothing to offer to God, He makes us as a gift to His Son. We belong to Christ because God the Father gave us to Christ. Astounding. Now in the verse that Kelly read this morning, we'll just repeat that. John 6:37. All that the Father gives me, there it is, shall come to me. And he that comes to me, I will never turn away. or I'm never cast out. And that verb means never, never, ever, ever. No way. All that the Father gives me shall come to me. It's certain. And he that comes will never be turned away. Whatever. That's enough to live on the rest of your life, isn't it? If you can believe that. That if you're here this morning as a believer in Christ, it's belonging to him because God the Father has made you as a gift to his Son. Astounding. Now, let's look at other passages just in the book of John that teaches that truth. John 10, verse 27. In John 10:27, these are the words of Jesus, and he's calling us sheep. His people are sheep. In verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give to them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me. There it is. There's the statement. A gift to him from the Father. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to take them out of my Father's hand. There's the promise. And we belong to him because God the Father has made us as a gift to his Son. And the Son has received that gift, and we belong to him. Would you turn to one more passage, please? John chapter 17. In John 17, we have the real Lord's Prayer. Now, the song that we sing, or the prayer that we pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed, that is not really the Lord's Prayer. That is the prayer he taught his disciples to pray. The real Lord's Prayer is in John 17, the night before he died. He talked to the Father and spoke to him. And I just want to pick out about six verses here that say this same thing, that we are a gift from God the Father to God the Son. That's why we belong to him. Verse 2, as you have given him authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many, now there's sovereignty and election, to whom? To as many as you have given him. I hope we're catching the impact of this. It can change your life in terms of security and belonging and knowing that we are a gift from the Father to the Son. Verse 6, I have manifested to your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. John 17:6. There it is again. Verse 7. Now they have known that all things which you have given me are from you, including us. Verse 9. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me. For they are yours. We are a gift from God the Father to Christ the Son, and Christ is praying for us. And he doesn't pray for the world, but he prays for us. Verse 11. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep through your name those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. And then again in verse 24 of chapter 17, verse 24, Father, I desire that they also whom you gave me may be with me where I am. Now, I don't want to labor this anymore, but it is a biblical fact, a biblical truth, that we belong to him because God the Father has made us as a gift to Christ the Son. And that includes every believer, And our security rests in this, that we are a gift from the Father to Him. And in this Lord's Prayer, Jesus was saying, Father, I will, I want, I desire that those whom You have given Me will be with Me where I am. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ has desired us as a gift, and He wants us to be with Him. Isn't that something? That sinful, rebellious people like us, He wants us to be with Him. That is unconditional love. And that is a great, great thing. And I hope this has caught your heart so that you can rejoice this morning and have the sense of belonging because He made us as a gift to His Son. But that's only the beginning. There is a second way we belong to Him. And as the outline there indicates, it is by choice, but not your choice. It's His first, and then it's yours. It's by God's choice, and we just take a moment to review the doctrine of election, which is also a prominent doctrine in Scripture. And we don't have time to look at all the verses, but one of the basic passages is in Ephesians 1, 3 through 5, that it is God's choice of us that causes us to belong to Him. Ephesians 1, 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us, He chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before Him. In love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. Now this doctrine follows through in many, many passages of Scripture, that God has chosen us. And this passage reveals the timing of it, that it was before creation, before the foundation of the world. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit made a selection of those whom they would save to be with them for eternity. And that includes every believer. All those who believe, we belong to Him by His choice. What a marvelous thing that is. Some people said, well, God had to make that selection before He created us because He would never have done it afterwards. Well, we probably could agree with that. But I was talking to a fellow this past week who had had a real, he's a Christian, he has a real downturn in life. Things have not worked out well for him. He's very disappointed. And he has made the mistake of trying to emulate certain Christian leaders and wanting to be like them. And one person in particular. And it just isn't happening. And he's very downcast. And finally, I just looked him in the eye and I said, are you one of God's elect? He said, yes, I am. I said, it doesn't get any better than that. You can't. He said, I've wanted to be a big shot. I said, you're a big shot. You're one of God's elect. God has chosen you. It's a reason to rejoice. There's our security. God selected out of the teeming mass of humanity those whom He would save. And that includes every believer. And so this morning we belong to Him by gift and by choice. Now that's not all. Here's a third one. We belong to Him by purchase. He bought us 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, where we read, "You are not your own, for you are bought with a price." Now, this buying of us refers to the whole doctrine of redemption. The hymn book is full of songs about redemption. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It refers to paying a price for us. And that price was Christ's own life. A willing sacrifice He made for us that paid the justice of God for our sin, so that our sin can be fully forgiven, past, present, and future. And so we are not our own. We are bought with a price. We belong to Him. So that as a Christian, we don't live on our own. We don't make our own decisions. We don't decide where we'll live or where we'll work or what we'll do. We come to Him with that. And we ask Him for His authority to be over us. And we make decisions on that basis. We don't live life on our own. I talked to a man recently who said, "I'm tired of living that way. I'm tired of living the way I want to live. It doesn't work." So we live by knowing that we belong to Him. You're a gift from God the Father to God the Son. You have been selected by God to be a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have been bought by Him so that He owns you, and you belong to Him by purchase. Now, the fourth way we belong to Him is by conquest. By conquest. When Kelly prayed this morning, he used the term irresistible grace, which is one of the cardinal doctrines of a Royal Bible Church. Now, not everyone believes that, but we do. And that for us to become a Christian, God had to conquer us. He had to overcome our stubborn will. He had to change our mind about Himself. And He had to influence us and win our hearts so that we come this morning willingly, lovingly, humbly, and say, "Lord, we love You. We thank You. We praise You for saving us." But it took the power of God to do that. You know, in Ephesians 1, you don't need to turn to that, but the prayer of Paul there indicates that the same power which raised Christ from the dead is the power that God exerted when He saved us. It took a miracle to bring us from spiritual death to spiritual life. If you are a believer in Christ, you are a living, walking miracle of God. All the energy, all the divine energy that it took to create the world and control the storms and raise the dead was directed to you and me in our salvation. God has us as His own by conquest. He won our hearts. And this brings up the question of the human will and free will versus God's will. And you'll hear people saying, God will never force Himself on anybody. He will never violate your free will. If He didn't, no one would be saved. No one volunteers to become a Christian. No one volunteers to love God. There is none righteous, no, not one. And God has to come and change us and work on us. Now, we said there are some things we have in common. we have sin as a commonality. A result of that sin is insecurity, which we all have. And a third ingredient is stubbornness. How many of you here are not stubborn? Oh, never mind, it's okay. How many of you have children who are not stubborn from the day you first see them? It's a part of life. And we are stubbornly set in our sinful nature. And God has to break through that, overcome that, and make a conquest of our hearts by His irresistible grace. And when God wants to do that, He does it. And no one can overcome that call. It is a call. And in the passage we studied last week in Romans 8, 28 through 39, it says that whom He predestined, He also called. And the call of God is not some weak, flimsy invitation. Oh, I hope John will believe in me. Or I hope Ruth will believe in me. And God is just waiting for them and kind of wringing His hands because He can't win them. No, it isn't like that at all. It's a divine summons. And God is not some old man upstairs as a wringing His hands because He can't get people to do what He wants them to do. When God calls, human beings answer. That's the irresistible grace, and we thank Him for it. We belong to Him by gift, by His election, by His purchase, by His conquest, and now by union, by joining us to Himself so that we become one with Him. And there is spiritual oneness. We are in Christ and He is in us. And He illustrates that by the vine and the branches. He said, I am the vine and you are the branches. And the strongest place is where that branch is joined to the vine. And that's what our life is in relationship to Him. We are one. If you will turn to John chapter 14, which is close there, to John 6, we'll read verses 19 and 20. John 14, 19 and 20. Jesus is talking to them about His leaving, Holy Spirit coming, and in verse 19 He said to them, a little while longer and the world will see me no more. But you will see me, and because I live, you will live also. Now, His resurrection is the guarantee of our resurrection. And then in verse 20 it states, at that day you will know that I am in my Father. The Father and the Son are one. That's oneness. And then He said, you are in me, and I am in you. How do we understand that? It's a spiritual relationship. An unbeliever cannot begin to grasp this truth. You could only believe this, comprehend it, and have any meaning at all when the Holy Spirit is in us to interpret that and make it real. It is Christ in us, we are in Him, and He is in us, and we belong to Him because we are joined together forever and ever and ever. Security, we belong to Him. By gift, by choice, by purchase, by conquest, by union. One final thought about how we belong to Him, and it's by faith. Faith. What a remarkable concept that is. in Christianity. By faith. The Bible is full of this. For by grace are you saved through faith. And Romans 5:1 states that having been justified freely by faith, we have peace with God. We sang about peace, about joy, and about love. There is no peace without faith. There is no joy without faith. Faith is the gift of God. We don't have it. Now, here again is a doctrinal area where we differ from some other people in that the popular message today is that every human being has the capacity to believe and trust God anytime they want to. So we who present the gospel only need to do it in such a way that it will arouse the emotions and just give the right recipe and to present the gospel in the right way, and they'll come running to God. Nothing could be further from the truth. Every sinner is dead in sin and lives in spiritual death. And until God comes and resurrects us to spiritual life and gives us faith, we'll never believe. If you are a believer, it's because God has given you the gift of faith. And by that faith, we belong to Him. And that is our security. We respond. And we come here willingly this morning and we say, we believe. We believe that the death and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ brings the forgiveness of all our sin and the gift of eternal life, and no one can take that from us. At the point of a gun, we would want to say that. That's faith. It's not just in the good times, but all the time. We confess, we believe, and faith is essential. It comes from God, but we have to have it in order to say we have forgiveness and eternal life and to say that we belong. Well, let's think this through about our life this morning, our security, being intimidated. I talked to a person recently who was having that problem of being intimidated. Just a lot of people intimidated them. That can happen in marriage. A husband can intimidate a wife. A wife can intimidate a husband. Even our children can intimidate us by their relentless desire to have their way. And they get power over us. And when we give in to them, then they capture us. Because we can be intimidated, and we can be insecure. But knowing these biblical truths should help us a great deal. And would you just search that out, your own heart this morning, about your relationship to Him by gift, by election, by purchase, and by conquest, and by union, and by faith.